My apologies for being late. Our present meditation is on Jesus Christ, our life. The more we reflect on the responsibility that we have to our lives on earth, the more we come to realize that it is absolutely impossible even to observe the fundamentals of the moral law without the grace of God. However, a retreat time is not only, or even mainly, to bring people back to the observance of the moral law. He offered to distinguish between a mission and a retreat. I would say the purpose of a mission is to, well, convert people from having been estranged from God to the practice of their faith and the observance of the Ten Commandments. Whereas a retreat, by implication, assumes that those who are making the spiritual exercises are sincerely trying to live out the commandments of God, but they want to go beyond the obligation and do more than they have to under pain of sin. This is why, as we ask ourselves, why did God become man? The first and most obvious reason is God became man to redeem the world from sin. However, if there is one mystery in our faith, it is the mystery of evil, the mystery of sin. Why does an all good and loving God allow so much? Dare we call it cosmic evil, surely, in the modern world? Why? One reason is that, having redeemed the world from sin by providing the means for man's reconciliation with an offended God, this same God became man, not only provides the means for saving our souls, but keeping out of hell and reaching heaven. God became man also, and with emphasis, that he may become like him by the imitation of his human virtues, and thereby becoming more and more like the God who became incarnate. In other words, when God became man, he did indeed redeem us. But this God become man came not only to remove the guilt and punishment due for our sins. This God became man in order to provide us the means of becoming more and more like him like him who is our God and became like us, that we might become more and more like him as a man, to become more and more like him who is our God. There are three terms that our Lord uses to identify himself in the Gospels. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did Christ mean when he said, I am the way? He meant that as man, he provides us with a model that we are to follow, in order that by imitating him in his human nature, we might become more and more like him who is our infinite God. He identified himself as the truth. What did he mean? Christ is our truth. How? If truth is the agreement of mind with reality, which it is, then Christ not only reveals the truth, he is the truth, because as God, he knows everything. And he became man in order that with human lips and human language, he might teach us what we need to know. Knew about him as God, knew about him as our master, knew about ourselves in order to do his will and reach the destiny for which he made us. But our focus in this meditation is on Christ, our life. Time and again in the Gospels, Christ speaks of himself as our life. I am life, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who has a son has the life. What does Christ mean when he says that he is our life? He means that having redeemed us on the cross by his passion and death, he now pours into our souls the supernatural life that he, watch this, that he as man possessed in its fullness, and that he now communicates to us, provided we are willing to receive it. What's another name for this life that Christ became man to share with us? It is the supernatural life. We may call it sanctifying grace. We may call it the indwelling of the Holy Spirit sent by Christ after his resurrection. And they call it a share in the life of the Holy Trinity. But one name we can give this Christ life in our souls summarizes all the rest. Christ, by dwelling in our souls, enables us, because we share in his life, to do what he had done during his mortal stay on earth, we are able, depending on how strong and deep His life is in our souls, we are able, in greater or less measure, to do what He had done, so that the word imitation of Christ is not just a pious cliché. We can literally, by His grace, do, and in that sense, model or imitate or pattern our lives on His. Why? Because we have in our souls, by the grace we receive at baptism, a share in the very life that God Himself possesses by nature, or that He has communicated to us by His grace. So much for the introduction. In teaching the theology of grace, I would expand for weeks on end on what we spend just about 15 minutes. We, as persons in the state of grace, as we trust we are, share in the life of God in a way that beggars description, but that enables us to do, we, human beings, enables us, His life of Christ in our souls, to do what Christ had done during His mortal life on earth. What then are some of the implications for our spiritual life, to bring these principles of our faith down to practical day-by-day living? First, having this life of Christ in our souls, we are able to see to see what? Well, to see what, except for this life of Christ in our souls, we could not see. Not, of course, with the eyes of our body, but with the eyes of our mind. Quoting our Lord, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father He'll send in My name, will teach you everything." I've got the passages identified. John 14:26. What are we saying? Because we have the life of Christ in our souls, I would add, in the measure that we possess it, we can see, and I mean see, with the eyes of our mind, that the child that Mary conceived and gave birth to at Bethlehem was her God and is our God. We can see Christ's divinity. There is no single mystery of our faith, none, that is more fundamental than this one. All the talk about following Christ, imitating Christ, all the language about keeping His commandments, is so much pious poetry. Bless the man, and it's a man by the human nature. Unless that man is God, then Christianity is the worst fraud ever perpetrated on the human race.